subscribe at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive2thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will hopefully be back soon. He's on sabbatical right now. Hawk is sitting in for him on Fridays. Hawk is also doing the show on Thursdays. Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays. Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These times are hard for many, and being prepared is becoming more and more important. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. With health in mind, this show's sponsor, EnerHealth Botanicals, has added over 40 liquid herbal combinations for all of your ills. They are high quality and give real results. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network and your own health. With good health, we all fare better in all the roles we play in life. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F as in Frank, O-O-D as in dog.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product will extend the life of your stored food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. When you get the nutrients you need, you tend to eat less, and what is more, it has a two-year shelf life. Also, take a look at their organic cocoa and coffee, as well as their other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners, and these are often changing, so be sure to tune in frequently for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on this show is truly helpful. We want to help you all to stay healthy and informed, so that you can better serve your family and community today and in these ever-changing times. Thank you for listening.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, March 15th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you with pen and paper, the website is watchmanscry.com. My friends, today I come to you live, and this is going to be a very special program, one that I am pretty confident you will be talking about in the days to come. Why is that? Because you're about to hear some information about a scenario that has a chance of playing out for the citizens of America and the world. And if this thing plays out, my friends, it will affect your life. Also, if it does play out in your vicinity, the outcome of your participation may be summarized as either good or bad. Or perhaps it could be summarized as scathed or unscathed. Over the past several days, since last Friday, March 11th, this world has been taken to a new level of incredible destruction in the nation of Japan. From several fronts, Japan is experiencing a test for her very existence. She has been challenged with financial survival. She has been challenged with geologic situations. She had an earthquake, of course, and then she had a volcano go off in the last few days. And then on top of that, now she is challenged with a nuclear catastrophe. The news in Japan has the world's attention, and it should. And the big story that faces us now is the nuclear reactor damage in Fukushima, Japan. Now, when the earthquake happened last Friday, the reactor was damaged. And since then, the health of that plant has deteriorated, and already they've had four, maybe even more explosions. The plant has six reactors, but up to this, as of right now, this live program, I believe reactor 2, 3, 4 has exploded. There's been fires in 5 and 6. And it has deteriorated to the point where now the plant is telling their employees to leave. I believe they have approximately 800 employees that need to run the plant, and all but approximately 20 to 50 are left. And I have to wonder, folks, what kind of speech were they given when everyone else left? Were they given the speech of do it for your emperor, go down with the ship? Who's willing to do it? Who will save the nation? Who will save the world? So we do have some heroes that are back there, and we can only hope and pray that they're successful in achieving the total meltdown of this nuclear plant. Now, the big concern is that very thing, a nuclear meltdown inside of the reactor core. They don't want another Chernobyl. And at last report, they have been pumping seawater into the reactor to cool it, but they are not winning the battle. Now, how bad can it get? What can go wrong? How will it affect Japan and its neighbors if the worst-case scenario happens? And then here's the next question. Should you care? Is this just another news bite? Is this just another piece of information about what happened on the other side of the world that you can discuss at the water cooler at work? Well, my friends, I believe that if it does go bad and if they're not successful, this is going to affect the entire world. So right now, we need to be getting ready for what we need to do. There are many questions. There's many scenarios that can play out. But, my friends, right now, we are living in an envelope of time where the divine hand of God is visiting this planet. And if you're a regular listener to this program, you're familiar with my constant broken record warning that we're in a season of judgment. I talk about this regularly, and I've shared about many of the things that are coming to America and to the world. Folks, I challenge you. Take note. The time on the divine clock says that it is time for all of the wise ones to take note, to wake up, to pay attention, and to take heart, and to get prepared spiritually as well as in practical matters. Now, what does this mean? It means that we have to be doing changes to our lives now. We have to be doing readjustments to our life now. And if you want information on the spiritual and the practical adjustments, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and listen. I have many audio messages that talk about spiritual adjustments. My friend, there's no more time to wait. In the next few days, I'm going to be releasing an audio message that's going to address the last-minute spiritual preparation to get ready for the possibility of radiation coming to America. And I've talked about it over and over, folks. If you want God's protection, you need to be in good standing with God. You need to be in a state of repentance. So my new message is going to be coming out that's going to talk about that. But for the remainder of this program, we're going to be talking about some very important practical things that we need to be aware of and that you need to know about. There's a lot of information to absorb out there. The story is constantly changing, so this is going to be a challenge. However, to answer some of the questions on what we need to do as far as preparation, what are some of the supplements that we can take to prepare for this, as well as a possible worst-case scenario happening, I'm going to invite my two friends, Steve St. Clair and Darren Craddock. They're the sponsors of this program. Darren is an expert in nutrition and health, and Stephen St. Clair is an expert in everything else. Steve and Darren, are you there?
We are. We are. Thank you, Nathan. You're awful kind.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, the way I wanted to do this, you guys, is, Steve, last night we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. You shared some things with me because you had spoken to a friend that's going to remain anonymous on this program, but you were given privy to some information that needs to be discussed. So I'm going to ask you to share that information first, and then after we talk about that, we're going to end the show in the second half of the show and talk about some things we can do in the practical matters. Does that sound okay?
Absolutely, Nathan, absolutely.
Okay, Steve, we'll take over and just let us know about
it. I'll just start off. I have a friend that's a nuclear scientist, and he works at a very well-known lab and has for, you know, past at least 15 years since I've known him. And I called him last night, and we had a 30 or 40 minute discussion. Of course, he said in their lab, this is the conversation piece. You know, this is the only thing they're talking about. And I'm not an expert in nuclear radiation. He is very familiar with these things because that's what he works with all the time. And basically what we went into was, you know, why are we seeing such, you know, sketchy reports coming out of Japan? You know, why aren't they being more forthcoming? You know, and there's two sides of the answer. One of that side is, well, they've got enough bad news now. Their entire economy is in meltdown. Their financial markets have fallen almost 20% in 2 days. I mean, they're in a world of hurt. Whether they ever can climb out of this or not, no one knows. And the more bad news you get, well, the worse it's going to get economically for them. Of course, at this point, this nuclear accident has, you know, I mean, just watching the mainstream media now, they're even some of these talking heads that they get on there calling it, it's looking as bad as Chernobyl. And what I was asking him was basically, you know, why the other side of it is why do we get such sketchy information about what's going on with these reactors? And his response was basically a nuclear reactor, the whole industry of nuclear science and nuclear reactors, they design these things with all these safety features and all these fail safes that, in this particular case, have all failed and not worked. Everything has failed. Nothing's working. And he said, what scientists know about nuclear reactors and what happens inside of nuclear reactors is only good in normal control circumstances. So all of these safety things are to avoid that nuclear reactor from ever going to the extreme. Because this guy said, in the extremities, no one knows what happens inside those containment fields. No one knows because you can't go in and observe it. And no equipment that they know of can handle the heat and the radiation. And therefore, he said, everything that's happening right now in those containment facilities is anyone's best guess because they don't know what the reaction is to metals. They don't know any of this stuff. He said, what you do know is if that containment field breaks, you're going to see some very high levels of radiation, and you're going to see some pretty deadly isotopes and byproducts escape. And he said, you've heard Nathan mention, you know, they're pumping salt water into these containment facilities trying to cool down the uranium rods, the fuel of these reactors. And salt water is a last resort. None of these plants are designed to be cool with salt water. Salt and the nuclear material are not designed to go together. The minerals, the chemical compounds of salt, do not react well with these isotopes. They actually create a new problem, which is deadly gases that can explode. So what happens in these things, you've already heard them talking about, I'm sure, on the news about the hydrogen buildup and that they were potentially hydrogen explosions. And the reason that they're saying potentially and this could be is because they really don't know. Because no one is there to observe it, because the very act of observing it would mean you are dead.
Steve, did you mention last night when I was speaking to you that some of the monitoring devices actually got knocked out in some of the explosions?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is what my buddy was saying. He said the explosions, the heat, and the radiation now in those containment fields, they're not really – unless you can see what's going on, you really don't know what's happening in there.
So they're flying blind. But they have no clue what's going on.
They have no clue. I mean, most of this stuff, they're pushing buttons now, expecting that the information transmitted to the piece of equipment on the other end of that button, that piece of equipment will perform. But they actually really don't know for certainty that anything is performing at this point. And now I just heard just in the past half hour that they're actually using the helicopters to drop fresh water on these things, which tells me that it probably none of the buttons are even working now.
To drop fresh water to get to the reactor core?
Yeah, well,
that
tells
access.
You a couple of things. They're dropping fresh water on these containment facilities because now the rods are exposed.
Exposed to the world.
Exposed to the world. Well, and I, on survivetothrive.net, we have posted up the radiation map that is now live, and it's showing the radiation levels over different parts of Japan. And right around that reactor, it is the red zone. It is bad. Okay, and they keep telling you, you know, it's confusing because they say, well, at the gate, which is on the, I guess, the west side of the west side of the facility, it's not harmful because the wind is blowing out to sea, so it's blowing all this material away from their monitors. Mm-hmm. You know, thus you have, you know, our Navy pilots in the helicopters. Now we have three or four crews that are having to be treated for contamination. You have another aircraft carrier battleship that was at port getting supplies, and they've shut down all of their external breathing equipment for that ship. It's closed because of the radiation.
The whole world is getting very concerned, Steve. I've heard that airplane flights are canceling. They're evacuating their citizens, or many nations of Europe. This thing is growing dire. Oh,
it's growing dire by the day. And my buddy was telling us, he said, look, in extreme condition, no one knows what's going to happen. But they do know that once that containment facility is busted, then you're getting all these gases. You're getting all of these deadly isotopes. One of the most deadly is CCM-137. And, I mean, just minuscule amounts of that in your body will kill you. You know, but the danger is, okay, is that this gets into the air and then you have a problem about estimating, making projections about the amount of radioactivity that's getting in the air because you don't have really good monitoring equipment all over the place at this point, I don't think. So you have to know from moment to moment how much radiation is being emitted. And this thing has been off and on, and it looks to me like now that you're probably having a chronic, you know, problem now. The radiation emissions are happening continuously.
Now, what we're facing here, Steve, there's, what, six reactors now? Four or five of them could go into
four
meltdown.
Four of them right now are in dire condition. Actually, number four was shut down, was mothballed basically for maintenance, but it's also where they were storing the spent fuel rods in the open because they considered the spent rods less of a threat than the active, you know, fuel rods. And that's the one that's on fire right now.
Okay, so let's summarize this. Okay, so we have reactors going haywire. They're emitting radiation, but they still haven't gone into the China syndrome, so to speak, total meltdown. But that's what they fear could happen. And if it happens, not only to one or two, share with what your friend said. If one of those goes into full meltdown and it explodes.
He suspects that it's already happening.
It's already happening. Oh, okay.
But no one knows. That's why they say we think, we suspect that there's a partial meltdown, you know. Well, you know, that's just words. A partial meltdown is the precursor to a full meltdown. That means it started. And
right.
They can't stop it. So what happens is all this stuff gets emitted into the air once the containment facility is breached. And in the case of number four, there's enough radiation in those spent rods to cause all kinds of havoc. One of the containment fields, they suspect is breached because they can't get close enough to it to see it, right?
Right.
So these things get in the air. The Gulf Stream right now, you know, is right over those facilities.
I've seen the map of the jet stream. It goes from Japan. It comes right to us, bullseye to us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so, did you ask your friend about that?
Oh, well, sure. And he said, you know, the problems with predicting or estimating how much radiation actually hits the West Coast is it's still thousands of miles. There's all kinds of weather in between the East Coast of Japan and the West Coast of the United States. You know, how much of that isotope gets attracted to hydrogen, which is water, rainwater. Rainwater attracts these radioactive isotopes and can act as like a magnet. You know, it will, you know, it can cause concentrations to form in rain clouds. Now, where that rain is dumped, you know, but the really, I mean, what you got to remember is once that stuff is up in the air, there's only one way for it to go. Eventually, it is going to go down. It's coming back to Earth somewhere in some form via some delivery method. So it either comes through the wind, it comes through the rain, it comes in snow. Anything that comes from the sky down to the ground has the potential of having radioactive isotopes. So what happens now is it's in the air, it's blowing, it's collecting in rainwater. When it hits the U.S., I think, Darren, didn't you, someone was estimating in Australia that the initial impact would be about 125 rads, which is, what, 125 chest x-rays?
Yeah, they were actually estimating 750 millirads, and one millirad is equivalent to one CAT scan. So the worst-case scenario, they're thinking, and this is this Australian source, is that we could be hit with the equivalent of 750 CAT scans in one blow.
So what happens now is if you have it in the rain, you have it in the air, it goes to the ground, especially in the rain, then your grass shoots and your crops assimilate these radioactive isotopes. So then, you know, you have crops that you can't eat because they're radioactive. You have cows and wildlife that eat this stuff become contaminated, so you can't eat the meat from the wildlife, nor can you eat the meat from the cows or drink the milk from the cows or the goats or the sheep or what have you. That's what happened in Chernobyl.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. In Chernobyl, they noticed that the milk became contaminated after 2 or 3 months. I don't know how long that lag time was, but it was from the cows eating contaminated grass that grew because it was, you know, watered with contaminated water from the sky. So the shoots of the grass pick up the isotopes, cows eat the isotopes, it's digested, it goes right into the milk. You drink the milk, you're contaminated. You have a problem then.
Now, how forthright is the American government going to be with the citizens to tell us the food is safe? If that scenario plays out,
hey, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, they're feeding us GMOs, buddy.
Right?
Yeah. I have a feeling that, you know, from what I can tell so far, I mean, there is no more potassium iodide available in the country. It's all done. It's gone. There's a panic situation going on the West Coast. They said near panic phone calls to all the drugstores trying to locate sources of potassium iodide. You know, it's going to be an issue. You need iodide or forms of iodine to protect your thyroid and other glandular organs. So, you know, there's a lot of Darren's going to cover that here in the next half. But, you know, basically, my friend was saying, you know, there's 54 plants in Japan, just like the ones that just blew up. Okay. Then, you know, and I asked him, I said, so, you know, I mean, what are we going to do? And he said, well, we're all praying for them. Hopefully they'll have some good luck.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, a nuclear reactor is tantamount to a monster. you know, we feel like we can control nature, so we put the monster in a cage and feel like you've controlled it. Well, obviously, once the monster's out of the cage, it can wreak all kinds of havoc everywhere in places foreseen and unforeseen. No one really knows now. You know, I mean, it's basically anyone's best guess. And they just don't know how any of this stuff reacts. They do know that hydrogen can explode in high concentrations when it's, you know, when it comes into contact with oxygen. So these hydrogen gases, you know, exploding in this reactor, I mean, there's a high concentration of hydrogen in some of these things.
Steve, I want to address and just spend a few minutes.
Sure.
Because I think the listeners are watching what's happening, but let's be honest. We're all looking at the worst-case scenario, and how is this going to affect me, Nathan and Steve and Darren? How, I mean,
sure.
How? So if this thing plays out according to what you just mentioned, if the crops are affected, that means that from the time that cloud arrives a week later or however long it takes and rains on the crops in California, and as it continues to go east toward the Midwest to the breadbasket, if it rains the same thing on the crops in the Midwest, we're talking there are going to be harvests of food that cannot be consumed by humans. That's what we're talking
about. Or anyone.
About.
Or anything.
So what that means, I'm getting this picture in my mind. If, let's say, the worst-case scenario happened in the next hour, that cloud goes up, we have 7 days for it to arrive here. From the time that it arrives and starts raining in America, if the isotopes are high enough, if the rads are high enough, what that means is from that point on, we can no longer eat anything that's bought at the store. So that means only the food that people have in their pantry from that point on going backwards is what they can consume. Is that what I understand?
Or at least what has been harvested prior to that point.
Harvested.
In time. Yeah.
That's mind-boggling.
You know?
Yeah, considering that
rice and beans, for example, things that have been harvested, last year's harvest or the fall harvest, should be fine. It's what will be harvested, you know, like the greens, the vegetables, et cetera, those new harvests are what we would need to be worried about in the event that this scenario plays out, as we're all concerned it might.
Okay, so that throws in a huge, huge challenge for everybody listening. Listeners, please hear what we're talking about right here. If this thing plays out to the extent that we're discussing, you need to have a storehouse of food in your pantry. That's what we're talking about, right, guys?
Exactly.
So is there going to be a panic buying of food if this thing can – I mean, this can – guys, I'm just sitting here listening to this. This is incredible.
Well, Nathan, there's already a panic, you know, just for potassium iodide. And,
right.
You know,
what you're going to see, though, is you're going to see the government playing all of this down. I mean, just be prepared to see the government play it all down. I mean, the last thing any government wants is a run on the stores. I mean, obviously, you look at Japan right now, you look at some of these hardest hit areas, and you're seeing lines of people, of course, very well behaved, very stoic, as is the Japanese way, but the same reality is they're trying to get water and any kind of food, and they're having to stay in line, some of them half a day to a day, to get some basic foodstuffs. Obviously, no government wants that to happen in their nation, so we have to understand that our government is not going to give us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They're going to water it down.
Right. So this gives a huge and of course, we don't want to create panic. We don't want to be Chicken Littles either. We want to be responsible. We're offering just information of the worst-case scenario. However, if any of us are going to be vigilant, I mean, the theme of this program is survive to thrive. That means that we're going to have to make some sacrifices and make some readjustments to prepare for this possibility.
Absolutely.
And that includes the rain. That was another thing, Steve. If it rains, we would have to quarantine ourselves indoors for a period of time?
Well, there are already areas in Japan right now within 20 to 40 kilometers of these particular power stations where the government is actually telling everyone, stay inside, do not go out in the rain. That they're already telling their population that right now.
Well, you know, and we discussed last night, Nathan, you know, I've heard prophecy prediction that there would be a nuclear accident, and there would be a period of about 2 weeks where Americans could not leave their home.
Wow. Well, there's the music. So after the break, we're going to finish talking about this. This is incredible, guys. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
All right, now we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. You're listening to the Survive to Thrive show. Today is March 15th, 2011. And before the break, we were talking about the potential for the worst-case scenario of these nuclear reactors exploding in Japan and emitting the worst-case scenario, the radioactive isotope going up, getting caught in the trade winds that cross Japan and cross the Pacific Ocean and come straight over to North America into the United States. Then we also discuss if that were to happen, how dangerous would it be? And of course, that would be according to the potency of the radiation. And then we talked about if the potency is high enough, that radiation coming down as rain on the crops of America and what that means, how that plays out. Basically, what that means is you can't eat the crops after it gets rained on with radioactivity, folks. And so what that means is, folks, I think we need to be paying attention. We need to be watching the news. We need to be really, really vigilant in this thing. And I know in the past a lot of individuals have accused shows like this one and other shows that have their ear to the ground wanting to know what time it is as being chicken littles and fear-mongering. But, you know, folks, this is called survival. This is called wisdom. This is called taking measures so that you can save your family. That's not foolish. That's wisdom. For the record, I want to give a quick flashback. 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit had pressed me to do a program to simulate a nuclear attack. And most of you that are regular listeners, you know what I'm talking about. That show was very interesting. It created a lot of stir, a lot of emotions, and it created a lot of food for thought. But the question was, Why did I do that? And here's why, folks. Because the Holy Spirit is my choreographer, and I go according to his leading, and he wanted me to share and to get on everybody's mind the possibility of having to deal with radiation, with a nuclear situation. So we did it 2 weeks ago, and now here we are, 2 weeks later. It was prophetic, folks. So I just want you to know that there is some prophetic teeth to this program that you're listening to. You're not listening to just some crazy person ranting. Folks, I spent a lot of time in prayer with God, and I really, really believe that the smart thing that every person needs to be doing right now is getting prepared for the outcome, and that is what we're going to be seeing very, very soon. The judgment train is coming. There are many cars that are barreling down the tracks, and as they arrive one by one, we are going to see different situations, so the wise person will prepare for those scenarios. Now, let's talk more about the food, Steve and Darren. I want to talk just a little bit more before, Darren, you start sharing your insight. The food. I want the audience to really, really know that we're not trying to create a stir in a situation where the show's finished in 25 minutes and they run off to the store and spend their life savings on food. We're not telling them to do that. However, there needs to be consideration on the possibility that there might have to be an investment of food in case it does happen. Now, would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So how do they do that? That means, folks, according to what you need, you're going to have to do your own research, but we have to really be paying attention to this thing. That means milk will not be edible for how many months, Steve? Did he mention that?
Well, no. It all depends on the amount of rain, how much radiation there is in any given area. And I am also – I had forgot to post up. There's a national radiation map that's updated every 3 minutes with radiation counts in different areas. And I will post that on Survive to Thrive as well as the radiation map for Japan. I mean, it's nice to know what the radiation is in Japan so that you can, you know, maybe kind of, you know, get an idea of what to expect if it hits. You know, I mean, the wind could change and it might not hit. But
I think that's another thing. I mean, we have to be realists here. We also have to be deeply in touch with spirit and with God, because God can change everything. And through prayer, we can reverse some of the damage that mankind has done and is continuing to do to our planet. That doesn't mean that, you know, we hole ourselves up inside our homes and pray and don't go and store up on some food and take care of other things too. I mean, it's you know, God gave us brains to use for these situations, to be prepared, to plan. It needs to be, in my mind, a combination of planning and prayer.
So we're going to continue talking about this. I'm going to keep talking about it on my program, and I'm sure that you guys are going to be talking about this. So, Darren, let's talk to you now. Let's say that it does happen, this cloud's coming over of radioactivity. What can people do to prepare for that as far as supplements?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We talked about some of the preparedness aspects, but as far as supplements go, there's several things that you can do, and really, ultimately, a lot of them are associated with protecting the tissues in your body against the effects of radiation. And that's why there's been such a run on potassium iodide, which is something that the government recommends, even our government recommends, in the event of radioactive fallout, in the event of a nuclear event, be it a wartime event or be it a meltdown of a nuclear power plant. They recommend a one-time dosage of 130 milligrams of potassium iodide. As Steve was mentioning earlier, there's been a run on potassium iodide. We ourselves have been looking for a source of potassium iodide, even in a powdered form that we could tabletize or put into capsules to be able to provide to our listeners, because so many people have been calling. But nobody is taking new customers. Pretty much every company out there has said that it will be a month to 2 months before they could even deliver. And that's in a raw form that would then have to be put into tablets or capsules. So then the situation comes, well, what's going on? Has the government bought up most of the supplies? That does often tend to happen, at which point they tend to distribute them, just as the Japanese government's distributing potassium iodide right now. So what are our solutions? What are our options if we cannot get our hands on potassium iodide? There's many different types of radiation that we need to be concerned about. Some of the most damaging ones, like Steve was mentioning, is cesium. Strontium is another one. Of course, why do we use potassium iodide? We use it basically because your thyroid gland will absorb any form of iodide or iodine it's given. Okay. The danger here is, if you don't have enough iodide or combination of the two in your thyroid tissue, your thyroid will absorb whatever's out there. And if whatever is out there is radioactive, it will absorb that, and that will destroy the thyroid tissue. And, of course, the thyroid gland is so important for your health. What most people out there and most experts are not telling you is that iodine is absorbed not only by the thyroid but by all glandular tissue. So by the ovaries, by the uterus, by the adrenal glands, the testes, the prostate, to a certain extent by the pancreas, and the hypothalamus, the pineal gland, the pituitary gland. So all of the glandular tissue absorbs iodine. The thyroid is particularly iodine sensitive, though, and needs a fair amount of iodine. And what are the threats to the thyroid gland? Well, the threats to the thyroid gland are multiple. And they're multiple because, firstly, we fluoridate our water. In many major cities, the water is fluoridated. Well, why does that matter? Well, it matters because the thyroid gland depends upon iodine saturating its receptor sites. If there's not enough iodine, and there's not enough iodine in the American diet, and I'll get into that in a moment as to how desperate the situation is there, the thyroid gland will absorb other chemicals, other minerals, so to speak, that are in that group, that fluoride, iodine, chlorine, bromine, all belong to. They're all in the same halide group. It's just a grouping that they give to molecules that have a similar structure. So for months, years, we have been absorbing fluoride, we've been absorbing bromide and bromines into our thyroid gland and chlorine because they don't have enough iodine in them. If they're saturated with iodine, they don't absorb that other stuff. And they don't absorb radioactive isotopes of iodine. So the way to nourish your thyroid gland and prevent it from absorbing those other halide chemicals and radioactive iodine is to take iodine on a daily basis or take foods that are rich in iodine. And the richest sources of iodine come from algae, from basically things like kelp, like bladderwrack, like dulse. Most of the seaweed vegetables, basically, or sea vegetables, in addition to freshwater algae such as spirulina and chlorella. Now, some of the really good things about spirulina and chlorella is that they actually also will absorb and neutralize other forms of radiation such as strontium and cesium. So if you look, for example, I actually put a post on the Enerfood site today as an update on, you know, if you go to the Enerfood page itself, some research that I've been doing just recently, is since this whole craziness has basically manifested. And some of this research comes from Chernobyl. Chernobyl is really, if we really think about it and look back through history, it's the most well-known nuclear disaster in the history of humanity. This side of course, things like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You look at the situation in Chernobyl, and I mean, I was telling Nathan last night that even 10 years after Chernobyl, they were recommending that people still not eat mushrooms in the forests in France and Italy. So it gives you like an idea of, you know, how long these things can have ramifications, and that's just 10 years. I mean, they test these levels, And they found that, well, of course, mushrooms, this is another story, but mushrooms absorb a lot of toxicity. They're, in fact, used in remediation of toxicity for radiation and chemical toxicity and petrochemical toxicity, etc. But that's a whole other subject we could get into another day. But basically, in the 90s, the mid-90s, they granted a patent for the use of spirulina as an immune enhancer. What radiation does is it actually tears down the immune system. And they found that they did studies used, I think, with about 300 kids. And out of that group, they gave 10% of them, like about 30 kids, about 5 grams of spirulina every day. And it lowered the levels of immunoglobulin E, or IgE, in the blood. And that basically reduced sensitivity. Well, immunoglobulin E is high when the immune system's under attack. And it was under attack, of course, through radiation. And in the Chernobyl area, which, of course, is in Ukraine, since the accident, they've shown that spirulina consumption for 20 days led to a 50% reduction in measurements of radiation in patients' urine. So spirulina is pretty miraculous, and chlorella is also pretty miraculous too in its ability to rebuild the immune system. In fact, in Japan, they've been using chlorella and giving chlorella to patients, cancer patients who are undergoing radiation treatment, and found that it actually prevent loss of hair, it prevented all sorts of the side effects that went along with normal chemotherapy. And what they discovered is that it actually has a tumor reduction type of action. So it basically reduces the abilities of tumors to proliferate in the body. So, you know, one of the good things about this situation, we're in a situation right now where potassium iodide and other forms of iodine that are out there are basically gone. I mean, they've all been bought up. There's very little available now. I mean, I spent 4 hours today looking for sources of potassium iodide, and nobody had any available, none, for at least 6 weeks. So the good thing is here is that by taking the Enerfood that you're going to get protection against these other forms of radiation such as strontium and cesium, but also just on a general level, by taking Enerfood, you reduce the quantity of radioactive elements in the urine by 50% taking it for 20 days. So if you keep taking it long term, there's a really good chance it's going to reduce that at a much higher rate. In addition to adding the fact that the Enerfood has the dulse and the kelp in it, those are both have natural forms of iodine in them. Now they're not to the kind of quantities that the government is recommending for potassium iodide, but they're a natural source of iodide, and they'll definitely add a very protective effect. And in fact, today we've been working on putting together a special thyroid tincture formula, which should be available and ready tomorrow, hopefully, that contains other elements that are necessary for the health of the thyroid gland, and that's basically high amounts of vitamin C or C complex, as well as high amounts of selenium, which is so important in protecting the thyroid and aiding the thyroid in its ability to absorb the iodine that you are giving it.
I have a question about the tincture, Darren, because I've been reading some websites, and they say if you can't find potassium, you know, Ki, potassium iodide, you can actually paint an area of 2 or 3 inch by 3 inch on your skin, and your body will absorb it that way. Can you comment on that?
Yes, that's very true. Basically, if you paint regular iodine or iodide on your skin, the way to know whether you have enough iodine in your system is it should take about 8 to 10 hours for that stain that you painted on your skin to go away. And if you look at the fact that by some of the training I've done with Dr. Brownstein, who's probably considered the top expert in iodine and thyroid health in this country, is that the thyroid glands of 94 to 95% of Americans are deficient in iodine. So, I mean, if you think you're one of those 5% out there that has a healthy thyroid gland, good to you. You know, my kudos to you. But I think for the most part of it, if you think you are and you haven't been doing anything to take care of your thyroid, you're probably not quite thinking where you need to be thinking. So I think everyone out there needs to be taking something to supplement their thyroid gland.
I heard an argument. If you put iodized salt in your food, you'll get enough iodine. What can you say to that?
Not sufficient at all, because most salt here is iodized. Okay, most of the time, salt that you buy in the store has iodine in it. It's iodized salt. Well, if that was sufficient, then we would not be in a situation where 95% of Americans are iodine deficient.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question here, Darren, and this is from an email. Iodide versus iodate. Can you comment on that? Because some people say I got potassium iodate.
Iodide has far fewer side effects than iodate. Iodate actually has been documented to have a lot more side effects. There were certainly for quite a while there were some groups publicizing that iodate was better than iodide, but it is not. Iodide is definitely a better source of iodine than iodate, and potassium iodide is what the government's recommending. I don't always go along with what the government's recommending, but in a situation, an emergency situation like this, we need to basically get enough iodine and sources of iodine into our thyroid glands to act as a block against radioactive iodine.
Okay, here's another question. When someone takes a KI pill, a potassium iodide pill, it acts under a certain amount of time, within a certain amount of time, versus your spirulina and your additives, that your nutrition supplement. What are the timelines involved in these? In other words, if the clouds arriving tomorrow and they start taking Inner Health tonight, is it enough time to absorb, or should they have been doing it for a week or two in advance?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, the sooner you start on something that has high amounts of iodine in it, the better. The government says you can wait until the clouds over you and start taking the iodide supplement, potassium iodide supplement. Dr. Brownstein, who I consider the top expert in the country on thyroid issues, says you should be taking, that those who have already been taking stuff prior to the event occurring here on U.S. soil will be the ones best protected. Because literally, you think about it, your thyroid gland is kind of like, okay, how can I describe it? Let's get a good analogy. Imagine a medieval castle, right? And you've got all these towers and battlements all the way around, right? And, you know, that's a little bit of defense, right? But if you put archers up at the top, and you put them all around the ramparts of the castle, they can fend off a lot more attacks, right, than in an area where there's no soldiers and no archers. Well, the more iodide the more iodine sources you put into your body, the more archers you put up on the ramparts to prevent the enemy from coming along, putting his ladders up and climbing over the ramparts where there's no soldiers. So the more you prepare, the more you take prior to the event, the better protected you are.
Okay, I can hear a lot of listeners asking the question right now. Okay, Darren, you have me sold. What do I go look for when I go to your website? Which products are going to do this for me? So what do you, how
well, you're going to look for the Enerfood for sure. And if you already have Enerfood, you want to up your dosage of Enerfood. You want to double it. Minimum double it. If you can triple it, triple it. You know? If it's a little strong for you to take in single dosages of one tablespoon, take it in smaller dosages, a teaspoon, you know, six times a day, rather than a tablespoon three times a day, for example. So that would be one suggestion. We also have a tincture called Bladderwrack. Bladderwrack's kind of a funny name, I know, but it basically is a form of iodine. Well, it's a form of high iodine containing seaweed. It's
okay,
kind of like
spell,
a form of
spell that bladder rack.
Yeah, WRACK.
Rack. Okay.
Yeah, rack is actually another name that's used to describe certain kinds of seaweeds. And then we also this combination formula we're coming out with tomorrow. That should be available, and that will have up on the website by tomorrow. And we're thinking of, you know, we're going to post up on Survive to Thrive the name of it. We kind of literally, this has been like a turn it around today. We came up with one name, Thyrobust. So that may be the name. We'll have the name certainly by tomorrow. Steve, did you agree on the name on that one, or do you have?
It's up to you. You and Natalie can figure that one out. I'm out of that equation. I got too
many
other
things. Well, we're going to call it Thyrobust, like a robust thyroid, basically Thyrobust. Okay. And we'll have that one out tomorrow. Okay, so that will be out by tomorrow afternoon.
So they can go to survive2thrive.com.
Survive2thrive.net and click on the Enter Health banner, or they can go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. And we're just trying to get as much out there as we can, get things so that people can get them to get prepared and start taking stuff, because, you know, we really don't know. Like Steve was saying in the first half of the program, no government is going to want to panic their citizens. But already we've seen our airmen coming back from rescue missions into Japan, into the most affected areas, with high levels of radiation. Today, for example, you know, like in the UK, for example, I think it's pretty close here, there's a measurement for exposure to radiation that's measured in millisieverts. A sievert was actually a guy who worked a lot with radiation, a scientist, I think from a Scandinavian scientist. And in the UK, you know, if you get 20 millisieverts per year, you don't even really have to report it. Well, yesterday evening, those who were living in an area around the reactor area would have been getting 20 times that in an hour.
Wow.
Just to give you a little idea of near reactor number 3, they were talking about 400 millisieverts per hour being the exposure level.
And then just a little while ago, they were talking about that in a matter of minutes.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay,
so
guys,
it's really stepping it up. And oh, and one other website is RockyMountainHerbals.com. You can also find the tinctures there. That's our herbal tincture website. So Rocky Mountain Herbals are Inner Health Botanicals. You can buy everything that you can get on Inner Health at Rocky Mountain and vice versa. But I was just reading, you know, also that even the natural forms of iodine are sold out now.
That's incredible. Guys, yeah. I'm looking at the clock. I want to thank you for sharing this, and you're going to continue sharing these things on your programs. Folks, tomorrow night, same station, same time, et cetera, right, guys?
Exactly. Yeah, Nathan, thank you so much for having us on this evening, for having us share with you, you know, with what you had to share and what we had to share to help the listeners get a better picture of what's going on.
And listeners, I want to sum up with this. Again, I want to qualify everything that you just heard. This is preparing for the worst case scenario, because the news is not going to tell you the worst case scenario. They're just going to keep people sleeping. And I really, really believe that we need to prepare for a possible aftermath of this situation. And that aftermath is going to involve a lot of things. We could be seeing food shortages, because right already we're seeing iodine shortages. We could see fuel shortages, economic changes. The things that are happening in Japan are going to affect the whole world. We might be witnessing the downfall of one of the world's strongest economies. So, folks, get educated, get prepared, stay awake, and get your spiritual house in order. I want to thank all of you for listening. Again, my website is watchmanscry.com. If you want more information on spiritual preparation, you can go there and listen to the messages. We really appreciate you, folks. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.